Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're back for more of your listener questions. And today's show will be a salute to all listener questions, but mostly the question from listener Jessica Spataro. She's asking, with this new theme park reservation system, how do we decide to pick which park on which day when we're looking sometimes over 12 months into the future? How about touring plans advice? What do we decide? What day of the week's better or worse for any of the theme parks? Is it a crapshoot? We're going to talk about that and much more on today's show. Don't forget, today's show is brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. When it comes time for that 2021 trip, it's going to be a great time to go. Drop by themagicforless.com, fill out that free, no obligation quote form. And if you mention the Be Our Guest podcast, it's going to be you and me planning that trip together. And I sure appreciate that. We have a great time doing that. And we're going to make that next trip extra special. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link. It's at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra, and every purchase helps support the show. So please bookmark it and use it often. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Finally, you can become a patron of the show. Visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. You get lots of polls and pictures and discussion. And even a little mini podcast called Mike in the Midwest. It's a lot of fun, and it really does help support everything we do. Just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1709 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope the show finds you well. We are inching through a week where we get a nice longer weekend for a lot of folks here in the States as we have the 4th of July sneaking up on us, and we're going to have a fun time. But really, I mean... Yeah, now I think about it, that's a great introduction, except everybody's working from home. Not everybody. Actually, people are going back to the office little by little. But 2020 is just so different that I don't even know. Like, I'm a little worried for Saturday. I mean, you know, people shoot off illegal fireworks around here all the time. I don't know how it is wherever you're in the United States or even in the world, because it's not your Independence Day. But of course, we've moved since last 4th of July. We used to be in St. Louis County, where it's illegal to shoot off fireworks. You can't sell them in St. Louis County. We lived in a town called Florissant. They're legal in the town. Can't sell them in the town. Now we've moved out to St. Charles County, where in the county, fireworks are legal. Like, yeah, let's do this. I'm not kidding. Within a 5-mile radius of my house, there have to be, and I am not exaggerating, at least 10 different tents selling fireworks. They are everywhere. Like, if there was a match that got flown into the, like, dropped on the area where I live, there would just be a crater in Weldon Spring where I live, or, you know, St. Peter's, this little corner of St. Charles County. But in our little town, St. Peter's, they're illegal. So now they're legal in my county, but they're illegal in the city we live in. So guess what? We're shooting off fireworks, and I'm just playing dumb on Saturday night. So. Not a lot. We're just going to do a few and then run, I guess. I don't know. But it's Patreon to shoot off a few, so we'll see what happens. So anyway, hope you're having a great week. We're going to have listener questions. Joining me today is Ricky from touringplans.com and, most importantly, the Magic for Less, the Mouse for Less, the Magic for Less, all the stuff for less, all the stuff for less.com. What's up, Ricky?
We checked the box of all the lesses. It's fine. Yes.
Can you just start holding up a sign?
Right? Here's where she's from. This is all we have. Yeah.
So give us an update. What's been going on over on the blogs you've been writing lately?
Oh, you know, just a few small things, like, you know, Splash Mountain being rethemed to Princess and the Frog. You know, just some small things. It's all fine. It's all fine.
It's what, man, they move quick on that, don't you think? Like, that was a... That was a quick move.
Claimed it had been in the works for at least a year. So I don't know. I mean, it just depends on what you believe, I guess. I don't know. It's just, look, I know everybody. Splash Mountain is one of my favorite attractions, hands down. Like, hands down, it is one of my favorite attractions in Walt Disney World. It has been one of my favorite attractions in Walt Disney World. So in that space, I am very sad to see one of my favorite attractions go. However, I will say that I absolutely adore Princess and the Frog. And no, I'm not just one of those people who's getting on the bandwagon now. I literally will get in my car and sing, you know, songs from Princess and the Frog, just belt them out all the time because I think the music is spectacular. And it's got such heart, that movie does. If you don't cry at one certain part, you are absolutely dead inside. So I'm just saying, like, Princess and the Frog is a fantastic movie, and I'm at least excited that they are taking one very musical attraction and retheming it with another very musical attraction. And so Look, I get it. I'm upset, too, about my favorite attraction going away or one of them. But I think that this is a very good change. Let's put it that way. So Princess and the Frog rocks.
Do you want my hot take?
Yes. Let's go, Mike Roman.
All right. Here it is. I'm upset because I just figured out last year what that stupid line is from the song that's on hold all the time for us. It's pretty good, sure as you're born. I had no idea what that was for my entire life. Yes. Like, what are they saying? It drove me crazy on the ride. I'm like, pretty good, sure as you're born.
I mean, there's some inappropriate versions that are out there.
I'm like, what does that mean? I'm like, because it sounds like pretty good, sure as you're born. I'm like, dude, yeah. Are they speaking English? Like, what does that mean? And I finally figured it out. So I think somebody told me. So
yeah. Anyway, I mean, like I said,
I just figured it out, and then they change it on me. So there'll probably be some line in the new ride that I don't know. And you know, back in Alex, because I haven't seen the movie. I do like the music because on the cruises, they have this yes. awesome number. And I think it's the Golden Mickeys or it's one of the stage shows where they have. I mean, it's perfect for somebody from St. Louis or, you know, we're River City, just like New Orleans. We like the blues. We like jazz. And they come out with the parasols and, yes. you know, the tambourines and the brass. I mean, that's we're the St. Louis Blues, our hockey team. We love that stuff. So I do love the music. I think it, and I love like the bayou, like the, I love that scene mm-hmm. in American Adventure when it shows kind of like the boat going down.
Yes.
You know, I love that, dude. That ambiance is awesome. So I'm kind of excited. You know, I will miss the characters though, because I've never thought of Splash Mountain as any more as like a bunch of fun characters all hanging out, like bees and rabbits and bears and, you know, messing around. That's all I've ever thought of.
I'm sure that a lot of those characters are going to remain in the attraction. Yeah. I'm just throwing that out there. You know, you just won't have Burr Fox and Burr Bear and Burr Rabbit and all that. So.
And a good shoulder bone. All right, Pam Forrester. She's been patiently waiting to get introduced. Pam, corner of the Magic for Less Travel. What's going on, Pam?
Happy Wednesday. Yeah, there's been some great stuff coming out of Disney lately. I'm excited. I'm one to typically trust Disney and what they're doing because the end result I'm typically happy with. So I like this. I like what they're doing. I like the idea behind it. I think it'll be interesting to see how they sort of update it and make it a movie that maybe some of our kids know about. I think that would really be interesting. And I think that we're going to continue to see attractions updated since Disneyland opened. You'll see attractions updated. And I'm typically happy to follow along with that. I mean, really, I am.
Yep.
Lots of good stuff coming.
There's a lot. There's a lot coming. Now we just got to get to where we can get to see this stuff. I mean, I just want to go so bad.
Right?
I just want to go so bad. It's so weird because 4th of July weekend is coming up. And, you know, last decade we've been at Epcot for the 4th of July, you know, down at Walt Disney. That's the thing. It's like I had to ask her, like our whole family, like Pam had to ask her family, like, what do you guys do for the 4th of July? Because we're never here.
Yeah.
Like, where do you guys all go? And so guess what? We're hosting it. So.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yes. So we get to, and then we got to shoo everybody off before I get everybody arrested because I shoot off the fireworks, as we spoke about earlier. You don't want to be chased by the police. Let's get out of here. All right. First question of the day. Title is from the inbox, Grumpy Runner. When I see that, I got to take that one. You know, that's good. It's from Katie. She says, hey, all, thanks so much for all you're doing to keep our spirits up until we're back to our favorite place. My family schedules me back for what has become an annual trip in December, and we can't wait. Here's where we need help. My husband is an avid endurance athlete, and he likes to do long runs even on vacation. That's crazy. Why would anybody run on vacation? What? Anyway, we've stayed at the Polynesian a couple of times, the Contemporary, Wilderness Lodge, and Animal Kingdom Lodge, and he's never found a good running route. What are we missing? Okay, first of all, let me stop there. You picked awesome resorts. You picked the worst resorts for runners. Those Animal Kingdom Lodge, there's nowhere to run. I've run up and down like the parking lot there. That's not very fun. Wilderness Lodge used to have the best. It had a path between Wilderness Lodge and Fort Wilderness, but that's closed because of reflections of the construction that was happening. Contemporary, no good place to run there. Polynesian, there's a small path between the Polynesian and the Grand, not good for somebody who wants to get miles in. Either the Grand. I just run on the treadmill at the Grand. So here's what she says. He's happier when he can get those early morning runs in before all the park madness, and he'll be easier to convince to plan more frequent trips if he has a place to run. What's your favorite route? Is there a source for good routes? And what is the best deluxe for runners? Many thanks. Y'all are making these challenging days so much brighter. Sending lots of love from Memphis, Tennessee. Another great Mississippi River town right there. All right, so here's where I like running real quick. I got three big places. Now, if you're looking deluxe, Crescent Lake Resorts, Boardwalk Yacht Club, Beach Club, because you can run around Crescent Lake. It's not very long. It's less than a mile around the lake. But if you go down to the studios and back, which I do, you can probably make it into almost a 2 mile loop. And I mean, I know. I mean, I'll get up. I'm just like your husband. I'll run like 10 miles before we go to the parks that day. So I'll do maybe 5 circuits. But there's always something to see. You know, it's beautiful. You can see the boats kind of go out for the first time of the day. You see people getting up, getting excited to go on their trips. Second place, now this is moderates, Riverside and French Quarter. Good place to run. You can run up and down the Sasagula River between the two resorts, or Coronado Springs has a nice loop. It's about a mile around. It's beautiful. I love that. Caribbean Beach, it's okay. And then, of course, at the values, Pop Century and Art of Animation have Hourglass Lake. You can do it's a little bit less than a mile to loop around. You get to watch Skyliner and stuff like that. Those are the best places to run. You just got to kind of do loops. I mean, you don't want to run out by the roads. I see people running on the sidewalks, but not really the best idea. And so
I totally agree. In fact, you see some people like running on the side of the roads, and I think, what are you doing? These are like a great percentage of these people are tourists or people who are late for work.
That's true.
Exactly. Not the best examples of drivers.
That's true.
Case, so.
Good point.
Yeah. Okay, question from Susie Campbell here in the live chat. Let's jump on this one real quick. If I'm visiting a park the first week of August, can I go to a nearby resort to eat at their quick service? Ricky, do you know?
Look, everything's still so up in the air right now. So we don't actually know. Like, as of right now, because the parks aren't open, you can't visit any other resort without having, like, a dining reservation or something like that, I believe. So once the parks open, they may open that up a little bit. But as of right now, I don't believe you can. But like I said, you know, things are going to change once the parks officially open. So I think you're going to have to hold on and wait to find out whether you'll be able to just visit to eat moving forward. So I would assume so. But yeah, then again, it's such unprecedented times right now that there's really no way to officially know until we get to that point, right?
Yep, we'll see. Yeah. All right, this one is for everybody tuned in live here, but it's not breaking news for folks listening on Wednesday when the show releases, but it'll be moving forward. Let's see here. Missy says, yikes, I can book my dining tomorrow for a late July trip. This is that email that everybody should be getting if you had canceled ADRs. Mm-hmm. Any idea what time it'll open? Pam, 7 a.m. Eastern probably?
That's what time it tends to open. So I think that's the time that we'll be looking at. You may want to try just a little before that, because every now and then it does open early. But yep, that's the time we're looking at. And I don't think there's going to be a huge rush on a lot of things. I mean, Disney Springs dining has been open for a while. Guests who were checking in before the 11th had access to dining at the resort. So we'll see that. We're really mainly looking at theme park dining. And that will be for the theme park that you were able to make a park reservation for, right? Because why else would you be trying to make dining there? Because guess what, folks? You cannot get in.
Yeah.
A theme park dining reservation will just cost you $10 per person to cancel if you show up that morning because you are not able to get in, and it will cancel. So don't try to do that trick thinking you're going to be slick and get into that park. It's not going to happen. So you'll just be looking at theme park dining for those folks, and then some resort dining available as well. So use the online system if you can is always going to be our recommendation. And when you can't, then you'll have to call in.
What if you slide the cast member at the touch point like a George Washington?
Yeah. Well, first of all, no one will be allowed to touch anything.
That's true. Right? You know?
There will be absolutely no sliding of any sort at any time.
No, you'll be doing the touch to pay, which isn't really touch to pay. It's actually just
close.
Hold near to pay.
Yes.
So. Yeah, they need to change that. That's a misnomer. All right, William's got a question. Yeah, just get close. No. Just get in the ballpark. Hand shoes and hand grenades. Yep. Or horseshoes and hand grenades, like my grandpa used to say. Let's see. Do you think Oga's being taken off the available restaurants list has to do with the Florida ceasing of sales of alcohol? Pam, Olga's is a bar. I mean, basically, it's Cantina. It's a bar. So that same thing happened to Jock Lindsay's and a couple of locations, right?
Yeah, it has very few food items from which to choose. There are some snack items, and then there is, are you ready for it, Mike? A charcuterie place that is on the secret menu at Olga's. So I'm so glad we were able to sneak that word in this week again. Then I think the other thing is that it's going to be really challenging to socially distance yourself in that location. It's not that big to begin with. And, there's relatively few tables. You're doing a lot of standing at the bar. Shoulder to shoulder. Oh, for the days when we'd be
shoulder to shoulder with people who didn't even know or live. And it was full of scum and villainy, and we liked it.
That's right. I'm telling you, as soon as all this is over, I can't wait to rub shoulders with someone I don't even know.
Yes, exactly.
It's going to be a good time. But anyways, that's where we're at with that. But you never know. Disney is so creative in ways of making things work. We'll see what happens. And of course, they are good at adhering to state, local, and federal guidelines. So I'm sure that all plays into it. But opportunities abound right there. Hopefully they'll find a way to get it open.
Trust me, they want to sell alcohol. It makes a lot of money. No doubt. All right, Jessica from the ad read at the top of the show. Mike, Ricky, and Pam, how the heck do we plan when we have to pick one park per day? She says this is a topic in light of the new Disney, in quotes. Any touring plans advice for what days of the week are better or worse for each of the four main parks? Or is it a crapshoot at this point? Also, space 220 reservations. Anyone? Just kidding. All right, in the future. So, Ricky, this is tough because, people are making reservations to go to theme. I mean, we thought that making, advanced dining reservations were rough 180 days out. I mean, we have people getting way past 180 days trying to decide where they're going to be. Like, I'll be honest, I've been so swamped, in a good way. I've been super busy. Scott texted me the other day. He's like, dude, I got all my theme park reservations for Marathon Weekend. I'm like, I can't even breathe right now, man. I can't make mine right now. I can't breathe. I'm not going to do it till I get my guests taken care of. I'm like, dude, here's my password. Make them. I don't care what they are. Just give me whatever you have. I want. So he took care of mine. So I have. So I don't even know where I'm going. I'm like, I don't care where I go, really. As long as you get me in a park, wherever you want to go, that's where we're going to go for marathon because I'm going by myself. But it's one of those things, I have no idea, where. As I said, I want to be in the Magic Kingdom the Monday after marathon because I always get my pictures there. That's the only thing I care about. Because as long as I get to go to the parks, big deal. But, what's a strategy? What's the brain set when it comes to, say, July 2021 and where you want to be?
What's interesting is before, we kind of had, a roadmap of what parks to suggest. Because we'd say, okay, avoid the park that has extra magic hours, if you can. And right now, we don't have extra magic hours, so, really, I think it's kind of a weird crapshoot. It really is because you go to whatever park you feel like going to that day in a way. The only parks that I would probably avoid is I would maybe not do the Magic Kingdom on a Monday because a lot of people, go to the Magic Kingdom the first day of their vacation and they leave, get to Walt Disney World and on Monday is usually their first day. I might avoid Epcot on weekends, especially if there's a festival going on. That would probably be a good thing to do. But other than that, really, it's kind of freeing. There's not a real, there's not a real method to the madness at this point. Just go wherever your heart takes you. I guess that's kind of the, whatever parks you want to go to, pick that park. And if it's available, go with it.
And the thing is,
it's frustrating for planners, and I get it, but it is
sweet. Frustrating. But the thing is, here's what I tell everybody, and this is what I've been, reassuring guests via email for the past, week or so when this has all been going down, is that I think as Disney fans, we're always kind of looking for the perfect solution because what happens is we get on social media, we get on forums, we get on Facebook groups and all that kind of stuff. And it seems like everybody else has some kind of a strategy that is like the magic bullet. And there really isn't a magic bullet. There's not a perfect plan, especially when you're looking out at a great distance. I mean, the thing is, lock in what you're comfortable with and just, you know, kind of relax, because this whole thing is supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be stressful. It's not supposed to put any hardship on you. I know that it was rough that first day, but the thing is, there's still theme park reservations available just about every day at every park. You know, we survived it. There's still space.
Hopefully capacity will open up. Is annual pass holders.
That's what we're going to talk about. Like, that's the next question, actually. But yeah. I don't know, Pam. So what do you think? I mean, you know, I think the best advice, you know, I agree. Mondays tend to be more heavy for Magic Kingdom because people kick off their trips there. Sundays, too. But other than that, just kind of make them and don't stress too much about it.
I think that's the key, is that, let's be honest, prior to this, there may have been some things that could help you out a little bit, but they weren't like vacation changing tips. Like, your vacation wasn't going to be overwhelmingly improved one way or the other if you really followed that. If there were things that could maybe have saved you a little bit of time here, a little bit of time there. And people really did stress about those things. Like, there was, because there were so many different philosophies on this, like, do this, you know, after this park is open for evening extra magic hours, or do this to take advantage of extra magic hours or whatever. Right now, you really have such a fantastic opportunity to experience the parks as many people never have. Mm-hmm. In terms of the not having to focus so much on what parks are going to be open, what fast passes are going to be open, when, you know, what did I do? The only thing you have to do is make a reservation for a park. Mm-hmm. And we were all doing that before because we made fast pass reservations.
Yeah,
and those were a lot more challenging. So when the initial like resistance to making the park reservation came out, I was really confused by that, because I'm like, you are the same people who loved making fast pass reservations. So whatever. But I think it's all settling down. People are kind of seeing, I think so much of the anxiety was what's happening. I don't understand it quite yet. Now people have been having a moment to process and they're feeling better about that system. But I also think that the ability to be there with what is inevitably going to be less people is going to be a really unique opportunity. And it doesn't have to be, some of the things are absolutely not going to be there, but there's going to be other things that are there that aren't always there. And so that's always a great opportunity. I just love to see how Disney has met this challenge head on. They've been thoughtful about it. They're doing their best to, you know, keep everyone safe and move to a point where people can get back to experiencing the things that they are really meaningful in their lives. And I like seeing that.
I agree. I mean, it's just, the magic's going to be there. I mean, just seeing the castle is going to be emotional this next time for all of us. I mean, because if you're listening to a Disney podcast, you're one of us. You know, you're one of the people that this means something to you. This is a place you've made memories. This is a place that we consider kind of a second home. And it's been taken away, you know, abruptly, like by something we never saw coming. It just all of a sudden can't have it. And so, you know, I think that, you know, like you say, just riding a dune buggy through the Haunted Mansion, or getting on a Jungle Cruise boat, or riding Space Mountain, or, you know, going through Spaceship Earth, whatever it is, every time we get to do that experience, the next time is going to be a lot more special. And just to walk around and be in the ambiance of the park with, like, you know, say 50%, 30% capacity, that's going to be amazing. You're going to be like a rock star.
Yeah, for sure. You're entering a park that is going to have a small percentage of the theme park guests in there that it used to. That's incredible. I mean, really and truly. So it's going to be a really unique experience, and you're going to have the opportunity to just do things differently. But don't, I see so many people saying lesser, like a lesser experience. Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily think about that. I think it is a different experience, has opportunities to be better in some ways and not as good in other ways. But I think that at the end of the day, and we've talked about this, the thing that impacts your vacation more than anything else is your attitude. So go into it with a good one.
Absolutely. All right, Betsy's got a question. She's actually in our live chat, but this one came to the inbox about 3 hours ago. She says, I'm sure you're overwhelmed with questions about the reservation system, but I'm sorry if this is a duplicate. I'm wondering if you believe Disney will open up the park days that are full to pass holders if they are not booked by a certain date. I booked a flight in the hopes that I would be able to get to the preview or opening weekend, and sadly, I did not. That's okay. I'm booked for August. I just wanted to sneak in an extra weekend. Thanks for all the fun the show brings us. Stay safe, Betsy. I like Betsy because She's not only going in August, she wants to go before that. She's all in. So what do you think about that, Ricky? Dates that are full to pass holders, think maybe if they have excess capacity, they'll kind of last minute open those up?
That's kind of my hope. Because as a pass holder, I definitely got... I did not get the ability to make my reservations as early as I wanted to. I had every intention of going for my birthday, which is in July, and I got completely sold out, which I understand, but also... I do have an annual pass that I have paid for 365, well, at this point, plus days, because I get a little extra on this one. But, it is frustrating because, like, I understand there's availability. Because I'm not staying on site, which, by the way, even if I wanted to, I couldn't because I can't make a reservation anyway. So, and I can't buy tickets. So, like, my hope is that they will possibly open it up once they have a better idea. And I'm sure things are going to shift as we move forward too. With people canceling their reservations for one reason or another, I'm sure that availability will open up on certain days because of that too. So I think it's a fluid thing for sure. I don't think it's a set, once the annual passes are gone, that's it. I think if they have availability, they will absolutely let people in because again, they'd be losing out on money per se because if the park isn't to where the capacity that they want it to be at, I can't see why they wouldn't. So as of right now though, I'm headed to Universal for my birthday, so Universal's gain on this one. I'm just saying.
Shaka-laka.
I was like, well, if I can't go to Disney, I can go to Universal. So that's I have a room at Royal Pacific now because they have availability. So, yeah.
Dang, you're going to the Polynesian on the other side of the...
Yeah, exactly.
I think, too, though, there are still, I think, guests who have resort reservations that have not made park reservations at this point. They really did. So in looking at it, they did sort of make this as fair as possible because they had a certain number for each affiliated group. Mm-hmm. And that is, I think, more fair than just opening it up and saying, fight for it.
Absolutely.
Basically, because they had a portion available to each group. Now, hopefully these are not our guests, because I know we've all been contacting the heck out of them saying, make your park reservations. Let's get on this. Here's a walkthrough. Here's a step-by-step guide. Mm-hmm. What can I do to help you make your park reservations? But not everyone books with a travel agent, and not everyone stays on top of their Disney vacation.
Mm-hmm. Who are these people that don't stay on top of their vacations?
Right? I know. It's so funny because when I've been in meetings or been at like events or something, and they've shared with us like this, there's a huge percentage of people who don't engage with my Disney experience before they get here. And I'm like,
who are they?
That just scares me to death to hear that.
So anyways, so I think once we, there's been some emails that go out that says, hey, if you're going to be arriving before September, let's make sure we're confirming those reservations, that you've made park reservations. If you want to, then we'll be able to move forward. And I think they'll be able to reassess at that point. And maybe there will be a chunk put back in each pool to see what happens there. This is just absolutely 100% me speculating. No one has come and shared these bits of plans with me by any way, shape, or form. But, that's what's there. And I think they're really, that's why we're seeing some of these dates be like hard cutoffs or, a big encouragement from Disney to get some things done at different times. So we'll see.
I wonder if the day of or 2 days before or whatever, they'll open up, more reservations.
That's a good question. Very well
could,
Right.
Because a lot, like you said, Pam, not a lot of people plan. If they have, everything booked up and, oh no, I can't get into the park this day.
Right.
Then that's not great for that person either. So I do wonder if maybe they'll have, in the morning of whatever day you were planning on going, for anybody, you get to go in and make your reservation. It's possible. Who knows? So
yeah. Agreed. We'll see. And it's as we keep saying, unprecedented.
Yes.
For sure. Yes. And they're doing what they can. They're trying to make it work. So I applaud them for that, really and truly.
Amy says people who don't plan give me anxiety. Amen, Amy. You're right? So right.
Dude, I know.
For real. All right, Jennifer's got a question. It's going in February 2021 for 4 days and in November 2021 for 7 days. Is it time for an annual pass? Not sure if it's worth it. So the thing is, this was a lot easier question before March.
Yeah, it was.
Because
because the system worked better. Well, without
and plus, we have no like discounts. I mean, like, you know, we had kind of an idea. Well, on that last question real quick, that's the other thing I was going to add to it is think about annual pass and Florida resident are the last discounts ever to be released to kind of fill in like those last remaining rooms at the last minute. I think it'll kind of be the same with the pass reservations, maybe.
Yeah.
Because it'll be like, because there tend to be more local people that can make it. Anyway, so on to this question. Probably getting close at that 11 days in the parks. But again, you know, the reason we used to say that was discounts. Like if you're staying at deluxe hotels, you're going to get a bigger discount with that annual pass. I can't tell you. I mean, will there be discounts? Will there not? I mean, this is a total crapshoot, Pam. What do you think?
I agree. And the length of park, the number of park entrances actually was at one point, remember, it was like 10, then it went to 11, and now I think it's like 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. So make sure you check for that again, especially when you're looking at the date-based pricing. Those are all things that are going to figure into it. And then you have to figure into what has kind of been the pain in the bum factor of having an AP with this park reservation system, just because there are like situations that I think were never thought of before. Like there was no need to ever think of if my park pass needs to be renewed in August, but I'm traveling in December and I can't, whatever. Disney's working their way through that. But just think about that too. I think that that's another thing to consider. It's not anyone's fault. It just is what it is. And it like takes a little bit longer to sort of work through all of that with the annual pass. So a lot of things to keep in mind with that.
Yep. All right. Jennifer's got another speculative question. She says, do you think there are resort guest park reservations available? Oh, wait. Do you think if there are resort guest park reservations available, they will sell tickets on site if we want to add another park day? I know it's a crapshoot, but why wouldn't they? And I'm sorry, that's the third time we've said that word today on the show. So I apologize if that word bothers you. I don't know why this word keeps coming up. So, somebody just emailed today with the kindest email they said, or it was on Patreon or somewhere. They said, I like your show because I know I can always listen to it with the kids. You know, the magic doesn't get spoiled. You guys are always so, you know, family friendly and not like self-conscious that we said that word three times. So I sincerely apologize, but it just keeps popping up. So if it's, I'll come up with some synonym here as I'm thinking, but, what do you think about that situation, Pam? The question's on the screen there because I'm not going to read it.
So what will happen is that at some point, and Disney has left this sort of date out there as late summer, we will have the ability to sell park tickets and vacation packages again for 2020. Right now, they're just desperately giving people, you know, an opportunity to make those park reservations, again, decide what they want to do, what they're comfortable with. And, you know, that's different for every person. So I totally respect that. And that's what they're doing right now. At that point, I think if you're planning on being there and you think you might want to add a day or whatnot, you may have the ability to do that. That's something to absolutely do. Is it something that I think they'll offer day of? I think that'll be challenging to offer day of, just for a few reasons, maybe the night before, or maybe let's say 24 hours prior to or something, but they don't want to offer guests the ability to buy date-based tickets if there isn't availability, and that can change at any moment. So adding something right then will be challenging for them, I think, with their systems, but you know, we'll just have to see as we move forward. I really think the next few weeks or maybe even a month, we'll see some changes. We'll see some different ways that they're doing things and ways that they're doing their best to meet the demand that's there. So,
agreed. All right, time for the last question of the day. It comes to live chat from Amanda. She says, are experiences like Droid Depot going to be open when the parks reopen? If so, do we have to call to make a reservation or will it be a walk-up? We got our AP reservations for August and my son wants to build the droid he was supposed to build in April. He needs his friend. His friend was supposed to be with him by now. His friend is just in a pile of stuff down at the studios right now. Ricky, is he going to... Please don't give bad news. We've given enough bad news over the last 3 months. What do we got?
I have good news, question mark? Okay.
Great.
So, beginning tomorrow, I've said every month but June. June 30th, which, you know, by the time this airs, it'll be over, but... you can make reservations for experiences if you've already had a reservation, which sounds like you probably did, that got canceled because of, you know, the parks being closed. So, you can make your reservation for experiences like the Droid Depot, beginning on that date. There are not that many experiences that you can make, but that is one of them. So that's good news. Anybody who wants to make a reservation that did not have a reservation before, though, is unfortunately at this point not able to make said reservation. So I hope that's clear as mud, but you know.
And you can't make a lightsaber.
No.
Dude, all the
there's no way you can make a lightsaber. That is so tightly packed, man.
I'm just saying, well, yeah, because you've been in there and I have it. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, this is a plan by the dark side just to thwart the Jedi. I know this is how this is working. Like, this whole thing. To shut down the lightsaber making, maybe there were like 75-25 like light side lightsabers, like good people. And so the Sith are like, this ain't happening. We're going to put a curse on this planet. Ain't happening. It's all that. It's evil. It's the Empire. All right. Kim's got an interesting question real quick. Bonus quick question. It's going to be quick. It's funny coming from Kim, our good friend who's a cast member down at Walt Disney World. Have you guys heard anything about PhotoPass? I feel like everything I hear is from everyone else before I see it on the Disney Parks blog. The only thing I know is that we can sell Memory Maker, so that's a plus.
Yeah, I think PhotoPass is going to be there. I think the only thing that will change is cast members can't use the guest phone. But besides that, it's inherently socially distant. You aren't being that, you know, you don't get that close. I think that you'll... have some way of scanning the band or getting it on the app or something like that. But yeah.
My arm's about 6 feet long, so it's like socially distant band on my arm. I mean, my hand will be in the contamination zone, but my head won't be.
Yeah.
I love watching on the news. I don't know if they do it in like your markets, but like our affiliates put their like when they're doing interviews on the local news, they have their mic on this big boom and they just shove it in a person's face. That cracks me up. I don't know why. I think it is just so weird. Like, what do you think? Ram! They jam that thing up in their face. I'm like, dude, back up. Here I am sitting here with a big mic in my face.
I love newscasters that have on the masks and they're like, nobody near them. And I'm like, dude. What is going on? Yeah,
that's all show. That's like, dude, I have a cool mask. I want to show it. Like, this is it's my buddy's. It's like my buddy's, startup. The logo on my nose right now. Getting it out there. That's what you need to do.
Here I am reporting from a completely open area somewhere.
Reporting live from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, at the canceled corn festival of the child. This is Mike Rahman reporting. In my mask. All right, anyway, that's going to do it for today. We're not getting into the mask thing. Let's see. So today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. It is time to book that 2021 package. We can help you with that. We'll get it on the books. It just feels so good to have a trip on the books officially. $200 deposit gets you all set up. You can make those theme park reservations immediately. And man, you'll sleep better that night. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Everything you need right there on that site. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And if you want a little insider info for the show, behind the scenes stuff, polls, questions, photos from way back in the day, I posted a picture of Mike in a tuxedo in a royal room at Riverside. I looked like a Secret Service agent. Why'd I have that on? We talk about it over there. Also, Mike in the Midwest, a little bonus podcast over there. So visit patreon.com/BRGuestPodcast. And you can follow us on social media, Instagram and Twitter at BRGuestMike and at BRGuestPod. And of course, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, that's going to wrap it up. But we're going to be back again on Friday with some more fun Disney talk. Now, I get it. I know. Everybody's going to be watching Hamilton on Friday, right? That's the day, right? I've never seen Hamilton. I've never seen it. I don't like musicals. I'm not a musical guy. I know, Ricky, you're like the theater person. I am. You don't have to sing the stuff. Like, I'm not even a big movie guy, but I really don't need you singing the movie to me. That makes me even more confused.
I've actually never seen Hamilton either. Yeah, well, so
I'm just saying.
My first opportunity opportunity to see it.
So I'm just, yeah, I know we're going up against Hamilton. We're going to lose. I mean, I know that. So once you've watched Hamilton 17 times this weekend, check out Friday's podcast, please. We'll be there. We'll be there when the Hamilton thing, you know, the craze is gone. 12 years, you know,
we're here. Still here.
That's right. So anyway, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back again on Friday. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.